Back here at the United Center as we wrap things up, the Tampa Bay Lightning come into Chicago and take down the Blackhawks 4-1, the first of two meetings between these two teams. They won't see each other again until March 11th in the Sunshine State when the Blackhawks visit the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's the former Hawk, Brandon Hagel, scoring against his former team in his first game against the Blackhawks here at the United Center. I'm Joe Brand along with Troy Murray and John Weideman filling in for John as he rests up his voice, and just want to clarify that that is why I'm here, because John's voice isn't capable right now, and that's the only reason why. But, Troy, we saw a solid start for this team. We saw a valiant effort to keep things competitive in that third period, but Tampa Bay is just one of those teams that can do whatever they want, whenever they want, and when they turned it on, it was tough to turn back from that.
What did we talk about in the pregame show?
Yeah.
The ability of the Blackhawks to hang around and try and find a way to match the good teams when they elevate their game to the next level. And the Blackhawks, you know, I'm not being disrespectful, but they, you know, you've got a couple players that can elevate their game to the next level. And Patrick Kane's one of them, and unfortunately, you know, he is out of the game here tonight. We don't know the type of injury or what happened exactly. He did catch a high stick in the second period, did not return to the game in the third, so we don't know what happened there. But good teams, you know, and the Hawks did this for so many years. Okay, we'll just test the waters here and we'll see how everything is. And then all of a sudden, okay, guys, we got to pick it up a little bit. Hawks have had a trouble elevating their game to that next level to match it. And again, you saw it here where Tampa took it to another level. Through 40 minutes, they're tied 1-1, maybe a little bit of a break or two or three in the second period, the posts that Tampa hit. But you found yourself in a position tied going into the third period. So you've done a nice job through 40 minutes. Now you got to find a way to finish this game off and win it. And they were in position on a couple of the goals that happened tonight. The first goal, you know, Isaac Phillips in decent position on Maroon, but didn't react quite the way he needed to, didn't have the stick of Maroon. And then, you know, the power play goal in the third period by Brandon Hagel, Jack Johnson was there as well, and it kind of went through him, and Hagel just an easy tap in on the back door. And when you have an active goaltender like Stalock, and this is thing that we talked about also before, he's got to be active and he's got to come out and cut down the angles because he's not big enough. So he's got to be really active in his crease area, and you got to trust the backside is going to be taken away by your defenseman. You got to trust that. And if you don't have that trust, well, Stalock's got to back in a little bit. He's got to protect that other side, and now he's going to be vulnerable because he's not a big goaltender and doesn't have the size to make the saves that some of the big goaltenders do. You look at Vasilevskiy, who's, you know, 6'4", 220 pounds, big guy. Stalock at 5'11", 180. Huge difference, not only in the size, but the equipment that you can have, because everything is proportionate to your height. So Stalock has smaller pads, smaller equipment, and so he just takes up less of the net. So my point being is he has to trust his defenseman to take away that back door. And two of the first three, never mind that, you know, the shorthanded empty netter, because that is what it is, but two out of the first three goals were preventable. And they have to be stronger in those areas to help out your goaltender.
Well, and I feel like the goaltending has been so huge this year. Obviously, yes, it's been good goaltending for the majority of Alex Stalock and Peter Mrazek, and for more than the majority for Arvid Soderblom. But again, I feel like it's so important for this team because it keeps them in games. It gives them something to play for, especially in the third period. And I think we saw it again tonight. Even though things got out of hand, it took some time for the Tampa Bay Lightning to regain, or rather grab their first lead of the night with two goals in this third period. I do think you are seeing eagerness from this team in the third period. Maybe not as much as they absolutely need, but they're still fighting for something. They're still playing for something towards the end.
Yeah, they're working hard. And you can see that they're frustrated because they're not getting results. And I'm around the team. We're around the team. You're around the team. And you see, and nobody's happy. Nobody's smiling the way that they should. You know, Tampa's on a nice run, and, you know, they can laugh and have fun. They know they're a good team. And yeah, they might lose one, and then it's like, okay, guys, we lost a game. We got to be better. Good teams never lose two in a row because they always respond. And the Blackhawks are trying to find some rhythm here, and they're just not getting the results that they would hope to in certain areas. And for the players, you know, not scoring, everybody in the NHL if you're in a position in the as far as an offensive role, you're expected personally in your own mind to produce, and you know you're not getting that, so you're seeing some of the hesitation, you're seeing some of the frustration come out, and that'll happen. But you know, the team, to your point, has worked hard. They haven't quit. I think that Luke Richardson has done an excellent job of keeping the attitude the way it needs to be, positive, upbeat, as much as possible. And Chris Foster's just walked into our radio booth. First of all, that's not allowed. And he stole one of my Smarties.
Can we see his credential? He's staying on brand. He's just stealing the candy. So
yeah, why would he steal my Smarties?
Because that's what he does.
He steals
the candy.
Yes, yes.
He's the worst guy to go trick-or-treating with.
But I feel bad for the players because they are giving it that effort. And it's just frustrating for them. And, you know, Tampa's a good team, and you had to play a 60-minute perfect game. You made a couple mistakes, and you broke down in a couple areas. And Tampa's a team, and good teams are going to capitalize on those things. And those are, when you look at the tapes, you look at, you know, the video on these things. I was going to say it's not tapes anymore, but you look at the video of, you know, the
you
goals
pull out the reel-to-reel.
That Tampa scored. You're going, these are preventable. And they just have to shore up those areas as much as possible because, you know, the goals that they are getting are far and few between right now. So you're not giving your goaltender any support. So in their mind, by the way, that they think I have to be perfect here. I have to, you know, be really good. You look, you know, back in the day, you had a guy like Grant Fuhr. Well, he knew that the Oilers were going to score about 5 goals a game, so he had to come up with the big saves when he needed to. And I've talked to Wayne Gretzky, you know, several times on this, and he really believes that Grant Fuhr was one of the best goaltenders ever because when the game was on the line, he knew that at that point he had to be on. The rest of the time, he knew that he was going to get goal support, so he wasn't really worried about it. For our goaltenders right now, you know, for Mrazek and Stalock, they're not getting any goal support whatsoever. I think 5 goals in the last 5 games for the Hawks, you know, that's not going to win you many games.
I'm not going to bluntly ask you a question if you've ever had an experience like this, but let's face it, these players who you said you feel bad for, they're being tested in terms of keeping morale up, keeping confidence up on a consistent basis. And we both talked how we think that Luke Richardson has done a great job of doing that. But can you take us inside the mind of a player of how difficult that is to do each and every day?
Yeah, the scary part of that is winning becomes a habit. If you're a good team, you know you're a good team, and you're winning, that becomes a habit. You get into a good rhythm. You get into a good mental state. You have an understanding, okay, we're behind, but we know we can come back. Losing is also a habit. And for the Blackhawks right now, they've got to find a way to flip that switch from losing to winning. And it's not going to be easy. The schedule on Friday against Arizona is a team that is young and upcoming. But then you look at, you know, some of the next opponents coming in after that before the Blackhawks go on the road. It's not going to get any easier. So you have to find a way to keep that positive mentality individually. The coaches can do a lot to help them. And I know they were talking about last week having a good upbeat practice, short to the point, you know, have everybody come in with a good attitude. And then Luke Richardson understands what's going on here. He needs to keep the room together. And if he comes in and he starts yelling and screaming at the players are going to tune him out. He knows that. There's always a time and a place for a coach to come in, but he can't do it and really lay it on these players right now for losing because the effort is there. They're trying hard, but they're frustrated, and when things don't go their way, they make mistakes. You can see the body language. That's just what happens normally to an athlete when things aren't going well. And, you know, it's showing, and the frustration is there. But you have to find a way to change it from a losing habit to a winning habit. And it's not going to be easy because this team doesn't have the high-end elite scoring ability that other teams have, so they have to play a different type of system. And they have to play that system almost perfectly. I thought they played an excellent 20 minutes, the first period. But maybe Tampa was a little bit off. They came out and pushed in the second period and kind of switched things around. And then the third period, they did what they needed to do. They scored, what, just over 7 minutes into the third period and really locked it down. And the Blackhawks, as I said, only had two shots through the first 13 minutes, and they were trailing the game by two goals. So they needed to do something more. They just weren't able to do it.
I want to say it was Joe Maddon, not to cross over sports, but saying if a team is struggling and I feel the need as the head coach, manager, whatever, to go into the locker room and start raising hell and flipping tables and peeling paint off the wall, what happens if the team goes out and loses that game? What do you have next? You know, what's next?
Yeah.
So that's another reason why I think Luke Richardson's stoic approach and calm demeanor and just level-headedness throughout all this is so crucial.
It's tough, and as an organization, they felt that this is the best way to go, and they have a plan, and they knew that there was going to be some frustration along the way here. But that doesn't make it any easier.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a team that is not meeting expectations, and they have high expectations, and there's always teams that have are in that situation, that's when you look at how was the coach working his group of guys. How come he's not? There's a lot of speculation in St. Louis about Craig Berube and you know, the players there. They just won the cup a couple years ago, and all of a sudden just nothing's going right there, and they're struggling. They're swimming around 500. There's higher expectations there than there is here for the group of guys. But that doesn't make it any easier for the coach, because the coach wants to win. The players want to win. That's what every athlete wants to do. And nobody in that room is going out to lose hockey games. But they have to find a way to start winning hockey games, and they have to buy into making sure that the little details, like I talk about, covering the backside on goals and those, you know, positions. You could see the body language of both Phillips and Jack Johnson when those pucks went in. It was kind of like, oh, you know, I mean, yeah. I could have made a better play. I should have made a better play. They just have to understand that those little mistakes when you're struggling just kind of get into the mind of the guys on the bench. And that's why I feel that when teams have scored a goal and then come back and scored another goal, it's almost that mindset, and Connor Murphy's talked about it, where it's like, oh, here we go again, and that fragile mentality. And they've got to find a way to get rid of that. It's not easy, but they just have to work hard. They have to come to practice and put the work in and then go home and, you know, forget about the game.
You had to digress.
Yeah, I mean, you have to get away from the game. You just can't let it build up. But easier said than done. I know, you know, when I was going through some tough times and stuff, you would take that home and you wouldn't sleep well, and, you know, just on your mind. And I'm sure that that's kind of what's happening with a lot of these players here, where it's just building up inside, and mentally they come to the rink. And as I say, when you're winning, you come to the rink expecting the win. And sometimes now when you're coming to the rink, you don't have that mindset. And it's tough to change.
Do you go to TV next, or do we get to keep you for a little bit? Mom, Dad, can we keep them? That's all right. If you don't know.
I think my next two games are on TV.
Okay, so just a quick
Sharpie came in for one game, and then I think I have Friday, Sunday.
Okay, well, we appreciate you being here. It was, again...
I miss my radio guys.
No, I
miss it.
We miss you, too.
Even you, Z, up there.
The Hall of Famer? The Hall of Famer, Paul Zarang?
Yep.
I got backlash the last time I didn't say Hall of Fame before preceding his name. So I need to make sure I pump that into my vocabulary now.
Yeah.
Like everyone else. Which is right.
And if I may say one thing. You're very average on your play-by-play.
That's fine.
Average. I'm just kidding. You did a fantastic job of filling in, and I know it was tough on John, not to finish off the broadcast, but he's got to rest his voice, make sure he's ready for the weekend games. You did an awesome job.
Well, thank you.
I was glad I was here for your first NHL call of your play-by-play.
Well, thank you. It was an honor to share it with you. Obviously, not the circumstances I would hope to do something like this. I know John Weidemann's the hardest-working guy in this sport, in this industry. Grew up listening to him. I used to work out at Illinois State University listening to Blackhawks games, listening to you guys, and people are like, hey, what music are you listening to? I'm like, the Hawks are on a 13-game winning streak to start the year. You're not listening to the Hawks game? And everyone thought I was crazy. So to be here on almost a daily basis with you guys is an honor in itself, but to quickly fill in for John is something I've never dreamed of. So, again, I appreciate you. Appreciate John, too, handing over his notes. It was so helpful, and I've looked up to you and John for quite some time, so this was really, really cool.
Well, it was a pleasure and an honor.
Well, the pleasure is all
mine. Your first NHL game. Congratulations.
Thank you. Do you pretend like you had the puck, but then you threw it in the fire or something? Is that what they do to the rookies? Don't they say, hey, here's the game puck, and it's all written with profanity or something from all the teammates, and it's actually a fake puck?
I've never noticed that.
No, that must be a baseball thing.
The guy, they do that in the
guy
the
gets
baseballs?
The guy gets his first hit, and they say, hey, bring that ball back over here, and then they all write a bunch of profanity on it, and they give it back to the player, like, hey, congratulations on your first major league. Now, here's the real ball. So, well, I appreciate you avoiding the hazing, and nothing but...
No. You did an excellent job. You should be proud.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. We'll talk to you in a couple of games then.
Yeah, I don't. I got through today. I'll have to figure out what's going on tomorrow.
Hold on to your smarties a little bit tighter, because if you're going over to the TV booth with Chris Foster, is okay?
How dare he?
I know. He just walks in and steals it.
Yeah.
All right, Troy. Thanks so much. Great call. We'll talk to you.
It's a pleasure.
Likewise. That is Troy Murray. He and John Weidemann with the beginning of this call. I'm Joe Brand. We've got the post game next. Let's get to it right now.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks post game show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
A 4-1 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning unfortunately stretches out the Blackhawks' losing skid to 5 games. It's game 2 of a 7-game homestand. They scored the first goal for the third straight game, but then coughed up 4 unanswered to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Held a tie game until the third, but it was the Lightning getting a go-ahead goal from Brandon Hagel 7 minutes into the third period, coming from the former Blackhawk and giving the Tampa Bay Lightning a 3-1 lead, and eventually a 4-1 win. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight here on 720 WGN. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text. But first, we're going to go with the Blackhawks defenseman who scored a power play goal tonight. First time that that's happened in a long time. We'll get to that after we hear from Seth Jones right now.
Finally broke the streak. How does that feel?
Not the conventional way. Up at the point of shooting, but just try to take advantage of a change by them and move it up quick and Raz made a good pass back.
You feel a little bit of a weight lift off your shoulders with that?
I mean, it is what it is. You know, our power play has been running decent this year, to be honest, but it's nice to contribute for sure and put one on that.
How tough was it with only, 11 forwards for most of the game and 10 in the third period to generate more offense after that?
Yeah. It got away from us at the start. They put a couple in the net. But I thought for most of the game we did a pretty good job of playing with energy and playing fast. And I think that showed in our game for the most part. Caleb stepped in and thought he did a great job up front. Did a lot of the little fundamental things that we want. So I'm proud of him for that.
How do you feel like Caleb fared as a forward?
Pretty good. Made some good defensive plays, I thought, as a wing. Some good plays in the neutral zone, and then I actually had a couple of offensive zone shifts. He's rimming it out to the point, getting to the net, and could have had a couple tip opportunities in the first, but I thought he played pretty well.
Derek King was mentioned this morning, you guys seem pretty positive despite that. I mean, do you still feel that in this room where there's the guys are, it hasn't gotten to you guys too much?
It's a fine line, I think, and we're not going to accept losing by any means or these results that we're getting, but at the same time, we're not going to do ourselves any favors by coming in the rink every day and pouting about it and hoping that someone comes to save us. It's got to be within the leaders of this room and really everyone in this room to play a little bit better every night, bring a little bit more, and I think that's the only way that we're going to get through this.
How do you feel the young guys, Phillips and Mitchells, continue to grow kind of every game, how they progress?
I thought they looked good once again tonight, both of them. Phillips is a big, strong guy, and you can see that down low in the defensive zone especially, closing guys out, hitting, pinning guys, and then he's got the legs to make things happen as well. Then Mitchie's just a smart player, uses his body. And you saw he had a couple point shots tonight that were nice offensively.
Do you feel like the communication's improving the more those guys are in the lineup with the veterans that have been there all year?
We're trying to make it as easy as a transition for them as possible. But I think they're doing a good job of keeping it simple at times and then showing their creativity at times as well, which it's good for any defenseman or any player that's trying to develop in this league.
Seth, your previous power play goal also came against the Lightning. I think it was 111 games ago. Were you aware it had been that long? Did it feel that long to you?
Yeah, it felt long. I didn't know I was against these guys.
Was it tough to lose Patrick there in a 1-1 game?
Yeah, he's such a big part of our offensive firepower, and especially in a tight game, he always comes up big in a lot of those moments for us. So definitely tough to lose him, and hopefully we see him back next game.
Do you guys feel like you have a confidence boost with Stalarks and not the way he's been playing this season?
He's been playing phenomenal for us. He's very vocal in the net. He plays the puck extremely well, so it makes the defense life very easy. Makes our breakouts a little bit cleaner at times, and he's aggressive out there. You saw the one in the slot that it was like a jump ball, and I don't know where it was, and he's out there in the hash mark catching it. But it's exciting to have him in there.
That's Blackhawks defenseman Seth Jones, who picked up his second goal of the season tonight. A power play goal that gave the Blackhawks a 1-0 lead in the first period, their third straight game in which they have scored first. More importantly, though, you might have heard the question, and of course, it was from Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times, who's been on this story for quite some time. I don't know if many Blackhawks fans remember, but last year, unfortunately, they kind of made history because they were the first team since the 1970-1971 Buffalo Sabres to go an entire season without a power play goal by a defenseman. And that trend, unfortunately, continued into this year until tonight. So it was the first power play goal by a Blackhawks defenseman since May 1st, 2021. You go to two seasons ago, Connor Murphy did it against the Florida Panthers. As Seth Jones breaks the trend here tonight with a 1-0 lead for the Blackhawks. And again, a good start in that first period. But unfortunately, it wasn't enough for the rest of the game as Tampa Bay went on to tie the game in the first period. No goals in the second and then two in the third. One of them being a empty net power, or a shorthanded goal, I should say, by Nicholas Paul. The other one being a power play goal by Brandon Hagel. Alex Killorn had the go-ahead goal, which was the game-winning goal for the Tampa Bay Lightning today as they take down the Blackhawks 4-1. Our three-star selection is sponsored by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's leading premier collision repair provider, with your collision repair needs. Visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. Number one star of the game is Pat Maroon. He tied up the game late in the first period, getting a redirection from Victor Hedman to knot it up at one. Brandon Hagel, the former Blackhawk, the number two star of the game, he had the goal in the third period that made it 3-1 Tampa Bay, a power play goal. And Brian Elliott, the Tampa Bay goaltender, earns the number three star today as he made a total of 25 saves against the Blackhawks in this game. We'll also go ahead and give some credit to Alex Stalock, who made 26 saves tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. We're going to give him our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations. Unfortunately, Stalock unable to help the Blackhawks to a win tonight, but again, definitely a stellar performance from the Blackhawks goaltender once again. Unfortunately, they see their four-game losing skid stretched to 5 after tonight's loss. The Hawks move to 8-25-4 on the year with the loss. Tampa Bay improves to 24-11-1. The Lightning also continue their trend of, they came into this game one of the top five one of the top five most productive offenses in the NHL. They were fifth with 3.57 goals per game. They came in with a top five power play, a top seven penalty kill, and they turned things on after that first period when the Blackhawks, for the most part, outplayed the Lightning in the first 20 minutes, outshooting them 12-6, a 1-1 tie after the first period, but not enough tonight as they fall 4-1. We've got more to get to. Luke Richardson is talking with the media right now, so we're hoping to get that sound quickly, but we'll try and turn it as quickly as we can. We're taking the post-game show up to 11 o'clock tonight. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text. We'd like to hear from you as the Hawks fall to the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight, 4-1. You're listening to the Blackhawks post-game show on 720 WGN. Hawks fall to the Tampa Bay Lightning, 4-1 here tonight from the United Center. I'm Joe Brand. We're taking the post-game show up to 11 o'clock tonight. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text like Dexter in Bolingbrook, asking if the Blackhawks have made the playoffs since 2017, have they beaten the two hated rivalries since 2017, meaning Nashville and St. Louis? Dexter, thank you for texting in, and appreciate you constantly chiming in. Again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. A lot of people forget about the 2020 season because it was kind of abrupt, obviously, with the COVID pause and then the rushed playoffs, but that was a playoff round victory for the Blackhawks when they beat the Edmonton Oilers. It was a play-in round, but I mean the NHL constitutes it as a playoff series. That was the last time the Blackhawks were in the playoffs. That's the last time they won a playoff round. They went to the next round against the Vegas Golden Knights. They only won one game. They lost that series 4-1, if you remember. The former Blackhawk goaltender, I don't know why his name is escaping me right now, Robin Leonard, was traded over to Vegas that year, ended up finishing off the series and beating his former team. Another question, why was Patrick Kane absent in the third period from the 312 area code? Don't have that answer just yet, but Luke Richardson did just talk at the media. I'll try to scour Twitter as quickly as I can. We will hear from Richardson as soon as we get that sound turned around, but yeah, Kane left before the third period, and taking a quick look at Charlie Romeliotis' Twitter of NBC Sports Chicago, he's got a video of the last play that Patrick Kane had on the ice, and Charlie's Twitter reads is, for what it's worth, this is the hit Patrick Kane took last game. Oh, no, this is the San Jose hit. I'm sorry, because if you remember, Patrick Kane was kind of tending to some part of his body after a hit he had against the San Jose Sharks. He talked with the media after that game. This was Sunday, and everything seemed to be okay. But now reading up on Twitter again, Patrick Kane is being examined tonight. Luke Richardson said he got hit last game and is still feeling it. So again, that looks like a reoccurring effect from what had happened on Sunday against the San Jose Sharks. Clearly, the Blackhawks would have liked to have Patrick Kane in the third period. Tampa Bay had a handful of opportunities that they just kind of generated on their own. They were holding the majority of the momentum of that game ever since the first period. But when you can have Patrick Kane, you'd like to have Patrick Kane. Coming from the 463 area code, do you feel that the Hawks should have won tonight? Well, again, Troy and I talked about it. It was a good start. And if you took out just that first 20 minutes, yes, you feel like the Blackhawks definitely put themselves in a position to win the game. As the game progressed, Tampa Bay held on to the momentum, but you got to give credit for the Hawks tonight for keeping the game tied, heading into the third period, and I know this isn't what fans want to hear, but again, this is year one of a rebuild. You're looking for constant competition, you're looking for hard-working effort, and you're looking for building a good clubhouse or locker room environment, and that's what is attainable for this Hawks team right now. Because it is year one of a rebuild, and they're looking for sustained success. That's not just going to happen out of the blue, and that's why they have to go from the ground up, and that's why this year can be a little extra frustrating. Let's get to the recap of this game. Again, the Blackhawks were able to pick up the first goal of the game for the third straight contest. It was Seth Jones on a power play. And again, we talked about it earlier. It was the Blackhawks' first power play goal by a defenseman since two seasons ago, 123 games ago. More importantly, though, the Blackhawks came out of the gate with a good performance against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They had the first 7 of 8 shots on goal, holding a lot of the momentum and then picking up the first goal of the game. Later on, though, Tampa Bay was able to kind of flip the switch and get their mojo going, doing things that they would like to do offensively and just kind of play to their own game. But the Blackhawks did a good job of limiting the damage. That's where we saw Alex Stalock make the majority of his good saves tonight. And I know I got someone calling me out for using the adjective as a stellar performance from Alex Stalock. Basically, the Blackhawks goaltenders are constantly getting challenged. And as much as we talk about the wear and tear that these losing skids have on the Blackhawks, you got to feel for the goaltenders who are oftentimes having a real tough time out there. I mean, 29 shots on goal for the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's actually one of the lighter nights for the Blackhawks as of late. Stalock kept his team in it through the first two periods, really through the first 47 minutes. Okay, maybe the word stellar may have been too much of a stretch, but I really don't think it's worth calling out for Stalock having a poor performance tonight. Again, he gave up a power play goal that made it 3-1 Tampa Bay. Before that, it was 2-1. And again, the Hawks had a really difficult time of generating offensive chances and just keeping the pressure on Tampa Bay all night long. It was Pat Maroon tying up the game in the first period. A 1-1 score as he was able to redirect a Victor Hedman one-timer from the left point. And that was only the third shot on goal for the Tampa Bay Lightning. That just kind of goes to show how much it takes to grab a lead and hold on to a lead to as good of a team as the Tampa Bay Lightning. Blackhawks were able to grab the lead, but it takes the third shot on goal for the Tampa Bay Lightning to get things going. Troy Murray had mentioned maybe a mistake by Isaac Phillips on that sequence that helped set up the goal. Either way, a 1-1 tie after the first 20 minutes seemed like a pretty solid first period for this Blackhawks team, out shooting the Tampa Bay Lightning 12-6. So we moved into the second period with an upbeat thought, and even Max Domi, who was our first intermission guest, was saying you can't just hang on to the first period performance and just expect the second period to mimic it. You've got to bring that energy once again. He wasn't taking anything for granted whatsoever, so it's not like, at least him, but I really don't think that the Blackhawks are in the state where they just take anything for granted of their performance from the previous 20 minutes. Tampa Bay is just a very talented team, and they're able to pounce on mistakes, and they're able to cut off offensive chances for the Blackhawks. We saw a lot of back and forth, but we saw mainly the Tampa Bay Lightning shooting the puck on net in that second period, out shooting the Hawks 13-6 in that middle 20 minutes. We saw some great shifts, though, from Colin Blackwell and Caleb Jones. Definitely like to see those types of guys making a difference in the game. But in the third period was kind of the backbreaker as the Tampa Bay Lightning scored the first goal 7 minutes into that third period, getting a goal from Alex Killorn on an assist from the former Blackhawk, Brandon Hagel. Then later on, a power play goal scored by Brandon Hagel, which, by the way, if you took in our FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show, gave you a payout of plus 240. That was the only one we hit, though. We were looking for the over of 6 goals, only 5 total. We were looking for 4 Patrick Kane shots on goal. He actually had 2 by the first period, but then again left before the third period. And Nicholas Paul had the empty net shorthanded goal that gave the Tampa Bay Lightning a 4-1 lead and eventually a 4-1 win. We've got more to get to, including hearing from the head coach, Luke Richardson. We'll get to that after this break. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show as we recap a 4-1 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning on 720 WGN. A 4-1 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Blackhawks play game 2 of their 7-game homestand. Unfortunately, suffer another loss. That's a losing skid of 5 straight games. The Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson wasn't able to talk to the media at morning skate. He's been feeling a little bit under the weather, but he did meet with the media after tonight's loss. Let's hear from the Blackhawks head coach.
How is Patrick?
You know, he's getting checked out tonight, so we really don't know much till tomorrow, probably, when he'll see the doctors here tonight and tomorrow and get an update on that. He got hit last game, just, nothing huge or major, but, you know, he just felt it a bit, and then he felt it came on more today. So I just thought it was better to hold him out in the third and get him checked over, so we'll hopefully know more tomorrow on him.
Felt it in what way?
Well, he felt pain, and he wasn't stable, so, he didn't want to hurt it anymore, which is a smart move by him. Him and us just to keep on. He gave a good try, and we needed him tonight. We thought we'd push pretty good for 2 periods, but you know, just I think ran out of a little bit of gas in the third against a really smart, good team.
Have Seth Jones finally score a power play goal by a defenseman the first time in 24 games.
Not the conventional power play goal by a defenseman in the crease, but I thought it was a smart play. I think this team, we talked about it, this team really forces up ice even more than we would like to in our pell and kill, and so they're going to change when they get the puck out. So when the puck gets out, if we can do a quick regroup, and they kind of recognize that, and they just didn't take it all the way back and do a full breakout, just did a quick regroup, and that's what started the whole, they never got set up, and because Seth is off the ice on those, his, you know what I mean, plays to kind of drive the net like a forward normally, so it was great that he finished his routes, and the two nice passes and it got to him, so I'm sure it's a relief for him just to get on the score, the goal scoring sheet, but you know, it was just a really smart play by the whole power play unit.
Is it a lower body, knee? Do you know on Patrick anything?
Yeah, it'd be lower body.
Lower body?
Yeah.
All right. Was Tyler just sick or ill? Or?
Yeah, he's sick too. It's kind of, I think, floating around the team. The coaching staff's gone through it. I think he's got it. So tomorrow we're not going to go on the ice as a team. We're just going to make sure everybody is kind of a day, a break away. And if anybody feels like that, we're going to try and keep them away from the team if we can.
Did you have something different this morning, or what was going on with you?
Yeah, no, I was just kind of flew around trying to stay further back. But, yeah, I just didn't feel great. I was kind of sweating out last night and today, just like soaked the bed. And a little bit of a cough, but I feel better now. I usually get it once a year, and that's how I react and get the body chills and cough. And sweat it out, and I'm okay in about 24 hours. But Tyler, I think he had a little bit more of a stomach issue, so... you know, I'm not sure it's the exact same thing that's going around in the team, but I know it's supposed to be a bad flu season. So if we get a beat on one guy, we just try and keep him away from everybody for a while.
You mentioned the third was tough, but how encouraged were you with the first and the way you guys came out?
Against a team like that, skated really well with them and played smart in two periods. And in the third period, I didn't think they didn't play smart. They made some really nice plays. And they're going to come and execute in your offensive zone. I just thought we just kind of ran out of gas at the other end. We didn't get a lot of offense or pucks to the net. You know, I thought we'd try to push at the end and get it. We got to try and pull the goalie and do whatever we can. But, you know, you're missing Patrick Kane. We're really limited on who we can kind of have. We can't pull a goalie too early because we can't even really get two units that are going to be able to be effective out there. So we tried to hang on as long as we could. But, they just didn't give up. That team is good offensively, but it's impressive how they back check and track as a five-man unit and play hard.
How did you feel when Caleb did it?
Yeah. Played great. Yeah, he played really well, and it was kind of last minute. It's really good on him. You know what I mean? It's frustrating not being in the lineup every day that he wants to be as a defenseman, but he took this opportunity. And, you know, he was looking back, and he was willing to do whatever we asked him to do, and he did a great job tonight.
What did you think of Alex Staloff?
Same. You know, he battles. He made some really good saves, and even on the penalty at the end, you know, I think he's just trying to do anything he can. He tried to make it look like it. I thought, and I bit on it, that he was going to play the puck, and he was out, and that's his space, but I guess he interfered a little bit too much, and so, you know what, it gave us a 4-on-4 situation, which, you know, we have a little bit of speed with Double A and Lafferty. Someone had to go into the box, so I kept Double A out just for speed. But you know what? He tries. He's so smart with the game. He knows every in and out of the game, and he really keeps everybody else engaged that way. So it's great to have him.
That's head coach Luke Richardson. We've got one more stop. We'll recap this game a little bit more and take a look around the league as we finish off the Blackhawks postgame show after a 4-1 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning here on 720 WGN. One final stop on the Blackhawks postgame show. We recap a 4-1 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm Joe Brand. The Blackhawks' next game will be Friday night here at the United Center as they host the Arizona Coyotes. Game 3 of a 7-game homestand, so still a lot of opportunities to come on out to the UC. Handful of games going on in the NHL tonight, and a lot of fun ones. Let's start in Washington.
Tuck got a stick on that one down, though. He does again. He's got Thompson out front. Thompson with the puck. Takes a scores! Tage Thompson!
Overtime winner for Tage Thompson. Dan Dunleavy of WGR 550 AM. as the Buffalo Sabres topped the Washington Capitals 5-4, and that was also a hat-trick goal for Tage Thompson, solidifying it with the overtime winner. Alex Ovechkin had a pair of goals in that game as well. Let's go to the Madison Square Garden.
Cracks off behind the net, checked by Burns. Shot by Zibanejad, he scores! Might have been deflected by Keandre Miller. Rangers lead for the first time in the game, 4-3.
Sam Rosen of MSG Network, and the Rangers do something that many hockey teams have been unable to for quite some time now. Carolina loses. Their winning streak ends at 11. Their point streak ends at 17. Franchise records for both as the Rangers pick up a 5-3 winner over the Hurricanes. Let's go to Ottawa.
Jake Sanderson at the left point. He takes a shot. There's a score. Sanderson fires it toward the net. May have got tipped on its way in. It is a power play goal with only 9 seconds left on the man advantage. And Derek Brassard is the guy that last got a stick on it to make it a 1-0 Ottawa lead.
That is Bob McElligott of Columbus Blue Jackets Radio. A 4-0 shutout for the Ottawa Senators over Columbus as Ottawa picks up the win. Let's go to Toronto.
They put the puck on the blue dot at center ice, and Braden Chen's going to come in to try to win it for the Blues. In the shootout, Chen in, shoot, score! Bring out the Zamboni! Shootout win for the St. Louis Blues!
Chris Kerber of 101 ESPN of Blues Radio, the St. Louis Blues with a 6-5 shootout win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Former Blackhawk Brandon Saad with a couple of goals in that game. Also, earlier tonight, the Winnipeg Jets beat the Calgary Flames 3-2. The Nashville Predators a 6-3 win over the Montreal Canadiens. Seattle tops Edmonton 5-2. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Budweiser, ComEd for Business, ComEd powering business, powering lives. United Airlines and Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks to all the help we received back at the studio. Ben Anderson, our production man. Krista Flores and Dan Long helping us out on the engineering. Here at the United Center, our reporter is Kevin Wells. Our Hall of Fame engineer is Paul Zerang. John Weideman had the play-by-play. Troy Murray had the color. I was lucky enough to fill in for John for a little bit due to him being under the weather. Appreciate John Weideman being such a supportive friend. David Jennings has the news next. After that, it's Raleigh James. We will talk to you Friday night here at the United Center as the Blackhawks host the Arizona Coyotes next. You've been listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks Hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.